Well, if you'd turn in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of Ezra that we read earlier, that's where our thoughts will be this evening. So Ezra and chapter six. There are some people who really love history, aren't there? I remember when I was at school not particularly being a great fan of history. I could never remember any of the dates. I was quite pleased when I was able to drop it. But what we've seen in Ezra and in Daniel, as we looked in that series, prior to Ezra, we saw a lot of history, of biblical history. Historians, they'll tell us, won't they? Particularly those of us that aren't perhaps, weren't particularly keen on history at school. Well, the thing is, you learn from history. And that's very true, isn't it? And it's particularly true of biblical history, that we learn from how God has dealt with his people in the past, Lord. And we can learn an awful lot from these passages. And I certainly have been particularly struck as I've looked at the history in both Daniel and Ezra, quite amazed at how God has been at work. As Israel have been rebuilding the temple, we know that they had been distracted from that activity, from that work. We saw how they'd been distracted and they'd been building their own houses. Haggai mentions that. Haggai, we looked at this last week. We mentioned as Haggai and Zechariah turned up, as it were, on the scene in Haggai chapter 1 and verses 3 to 5 of the first chapter. We read there, then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your panelled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. The people of Judah had not stayed focused on the task. They'd become cold. They'd been distracted, building their own houses. Well, as we reach chapter 6, it is really a significant milestone in what's going on at that time. The temple in this chapter, we're told, has been completed. That work finally completed. Major milestone. So by way of a short introduction, back in chapter 4, we'd seen, hadn't we, how some of the locals had been opposing the work of the builders, those that were setting about themselves to build this temple. At first, tried to cause the children of Israel to compromise. And the locals there, they would have worshipped many gods, but Jehovah, just one of them. But they were looking to compromise. And we saw how those leaders, Zerubbabel and Jeshua, wanted nothing to do with it. And they stayed focused. They didn't compromise their position. As a result, the builders, they were harassed, opposed, both locally and legally. Well, the results was that sadly in chapter 4, right, that last verse, verse 24 of chapter 4, we saw how the building work had stopped. Then in chapter 5, we saw two godly men to come on the scene, Haggai and Zechariah, and they challenge and they push for the rebuilding of the temple to continue. We read in our chapter 6 tonight how the local governor is Tattenai, and rather than make a decision himself, he tries to push that decision off to the king, to King Darius. He seeks advice and counsel from King Darius. Both Tattenai and that other local leader, Shether Bozanai, they, what we might call and we might understand as being political bureaucrats. So in verse 17 of chapter 5, we saw that they had asked Darius to go and look in the archives to see if they could find this decree of Cyrus that was supposedly made to allow the temple to be rebuilt. And it is confirmed, as we see it, that Cyrus did indeed make that decree. And as we get to chapter 6, chapter 6 is the answer. The first part of chapter 6, the first half of it, is the answer to Tattenai's request and the resulting actions following on from that. what actually happens is that Cyrus's decree is actually reinforced and re-emphasized by King Darius. So we see for the second time in this book of Ezra how God is using heathen kings to fulfill his sovereign purposes. Bureaucracy and the political situation, as frustrating as it must have been for those builders, those loyal builders, they have now been used by God to the benefit of his people. How remarkable when we sit and reflect and think on that. Well, the people of God, with the help of his interventions through those two heathen kings, Darius and Cyrus, with the help of God's provision of those two prophets, they've gone from being a disinterested group of people who were building their own homes, their own houses, to now being diligent helpers in building the temple for worshipping God. So God provided these helpers as well, Haggai and Zechariah. What a wonderful provision for those to be provided at that time. And it's interesting, isn't it, to think how when people are sometimes at a real low, God indeed provides for them. And here God has provided for them in the provision of Haggai and Zechariah. It is God, after all, who has made all of this happen. Their enemies, the people who were obstructing the work of the temple, they've gone from being those obstructors and discouragers to now supporting it, and even more than supporting it, funding it. It's quite remarkable how God has worked here, isn't it? But we might ask, why is there so much focus then on building the temple? After all, it's only a building. We keep saying that the church is the people, isn't it? So why was there so much focus on the building of the temple? Why is it such an important issue? Well, the temple was a place of worship and witness. It was a privilege for those who had been freed from captivity to be able to once again worship God, to bring their offerings for sin, to be able to show to those outside the household of faith, and be a witness to them in terms of coming into that temple to worship God. They hadn't been able to do that for so long when they were in captivity in Babylon. This is a wonderful testimony, isn't it, to the Lord, to be able to have that temple built and see those things going on there, those activities, the celebration of the Passover and such times when they came to worship together. And there's a lesson there for us as well, isn't there? And to all believers, we need to take seriously our responsibilities in building testimony for the Lord and to the Lord. God's people, they'd returned from Babylon. They've gone through that time of disinterest and distractions, and now they're having a real time of blessing. And how has that happened? Well, it's no secret. It's there for us in verse 14 of chapter 6, the clue. It's down to the preaching or the prophesying of Haggai and Zechariah. Those two individuals coming onto the scene, provided to the people by God. What a difference they did. What a blessing they were to the people at that time. Just think for a moment, what a wonderful time in history, in a way, that would have been to have been there. Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, these people who have books named after them in the Bible, didn't they? All there at the same time. The people of God, then they prosper when they adhere to the word of God. And that's what we see here as they refocus, as it were, as they re-energize, as they come back to the work that is in front of them, the work that God has commanded them to do, to rebuild the temple. They are prospered. In verse 5 of Haggai 1, we see how he urged the people to get their priorities right. Well, in looking at this, this passage, I want to look at really in two sections. The first section is the first 12 verses, and then the second section is the rest of the chapter. Well, first of all, start by looking at the letter comes from Darius. So we've all had experiences, haven't we, of having to wait for the post something quite important, a delivery, waiting for the delivery of some news or something quite important, or perhaps a phone call. The anxiety and the pressure that might be, whether it's waiting for some exam results, perhaps waiting for that job that I've applied for. Am I going to get the offer from the interview that I went to, or am I going to be unsuccessful? Perhaps even the safe delivery of a grandchild. We know what it's like to be anticipating and waiting for some important news. You might imagine how the Jews might have been anxiously waiting and anticipating what might be in this letter from Darius, from King Darius, in response to Tattenai's request. Perhaps some might have feared that maybe Darius would have gone back on the decree that Cyrus had made back then, those years ago. Would he actually bother to go and look and search out through the archives, through all the records, checking those old dusty records to see if he could find it? Well, what we see here is that Darius considers the request a serious enough issue that he does indeed go and he searches the archives to see if he can find the decree that people are talking about and mentioning that Cyrus had made. The size of the Persian Empire was quite significant at that point. And what we find here is that those records aren't actually found.